Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
All right, what's up, Gators out today? It is the Carson Anderson program here on 97.1 The Ticket, 248-539-9797. All kinds of stuff going on. I mentioned before the break there, the Sign Stealer documentary with Connor Stallions. Taking some feedback on that. If you want to get in, 248-539-9797. The additional news that Nate Sudfeld has just heard in the update, cut by the Lions. Will he be on the practice squad? I mean, he very well could be. Could get picked up by somebody else, but very well could be. And yet, we'll see how it plays itself out. I'm excited that Hendon Hooker did enough where they feel, you know, comfortable enough that if they lose Nate Sudfeld, he will be their backup quarterback. So there is that. In the meantime, we haven't had a chance to bring up the Tigers. We were going to at 11:30, then the Sudfeld story broke. They're back at 500. They've won 11 of their last 14 games, which wouldn't be particularly significant or as significant if it wasn't with who's doing it. Like, if this was all being done by Gio Urshela and Mark Canha and players like that that weren't part of the future, it really would be, unfortunately, I think for most people, just a big yawn. So what? Back at 500. But they're doing it with this new first baseman that got this Spencer. How do you say his last name? Torkelson? Like, are you kidding me? He looks great since he's returned from the minors. Parker Meadows has looked great since he's returned from the minors. And then there are other guys who might be establishing themselves as part of the core moving forward. I mean, cool moment last night when Jace Young went 2-for-5 in front of his brother Josh, who was in town. The Tigers had, as Josh put it, a wraparound series with Chicago, meaning they played into the next week and had a game on a Monday. Texas opens a series with Chicago tomorrow, so Josh Young was there to watch Jace Young. So you got an all-star big brother and a little brother, and the little brother showed out last night. Almost hit one out while they were interviewing Josh Young. That would have been really cool. But they're doing it while they're playing guys like Dylan Dingler and Trey Sweeney. They're doing it without a pitching staff. What the hell is going on? Again, if it were with Urshela and Canha and McKinstry leading the way, although McKinstry made a heck of a play on a what would be double the left field where he got the ball in so quick, they almost picked the runner off, scrambled back to first. But, you know, this is why I am interested. I am not worried about this group of Tigers letting me down because they didn't make the playoffs. I'm not worried about that. I'm not worried about how much ground they have to make up. I'm not worried about that. But I would currently characterize my state of mind as it pertains to the Tigers as interesting again. I think they're interesting again. And I guess that's what we want from you at 248-539-9797. Yeah, when you're 6.5 games out of a wild card spot, you're looking at a team that is technically on the fringe of being considered in the playoff chase. I would only describe them as on the fringe. But let me throw this at you. We can say, they're only back to 500 because they just played the White Sox and took 4 out of 4 from the White Sox. Yep, Yep. It definitely had something to do with who they're playing. There are 30 teams in Major League Baseball. 27 of them have a tougher schedule than Detroit based on opposing winning percentages the rest of the way, meaning the Tigers have one of the easiest schedules the remainder of the way. So did they feast on a bad baseball team? Yep. Can they keep doing it? Yep, they can. Now, are they going to win 11 out of 14 every 2 weeks? Probably not. And unfortunately, that's probably the kind of run they're going to have to get on to really play themselves back into this thing. But 248-539-9797. I want to know, Tiger fans, and just Detroit sports fans, you tell me right now, how would you describe your level of interest in this team right now? Basically, what's your current state of mind as it pertains to the Tigers? Because I said it, I'm not worried about them letting me down as it pertains to the postseason. I'm being realistic. Probably the most important thing that's going on right now is them potentially establishing the core of young players to build around. And if they continue to play well, I would hope it propels ownership / Scott Harris or whomever to say, all right, we didn't block young players last year. We didn't. We gave them a chance. Here are the four or five that we really like now. And let's go ahead and add at positions where there's not immediate help from a young player. Like shortstop, trade, free agency, whatever. And let's go ahead and add another good starting pitcher. Because as much as A.J. Hinch, along with Chris Fetter, are doing an amazing job of piecing this thing together with undecided going two out of every five games now. I mean, hell, Tom Milliken brought up in the morning show today, are they going to actually reconsider calling up Jackson Job? And say, all right, we'll clear a spot on the 40 man. We'll call him up and we'll do so before, brace yourself, before September 1st so he could be on a playoff roster. Would they actually consider doing that? Seems awfully unlikely. But hey, man, like I said, I am now finding them to be very interesting. Kang, what's your state of mind with this team?
No, they've drawn me back in. It's amazing. I can't believe it. I was completely checked out for obvious reasons. Football started coming around too. Yep. That, you know, of course never helps, you know, baseball out, especially when your team's not good. But you see the vision, you know, sometimes you have a hard time seeing the vision when it's just nothing good is happening. But the players are not only getting better and developing, they're winning as well. And I understand it's against the White Sox, maybe the worst team in the history of baseball, by the way. I don't care. The fact that they go out there with to-be-determined starter, like who Ty Madden made his first start last night.
Yep.
And they piece together enough pitching and the young guys come through. I see the vision for next year. Now, the issue is next year, do something, right? Continue this momentum. And give these young guys support that they need, you know?
Yep.
Tarik Skubal, you know you have him at least under team control for two more years. And that's the one thing that always hangs over my head, Doug, is this guy is a Cy Young pitcher, and you just don't want to waste those 2 years because I don't know what's going to happen after that. Yep. Scott Boras being his agent, you know how it is. And that's where the Ilitch cheap talk comes in from a lot of fans, right? Are they going to get a deal done? If they don't get a deal done, you have to trade them for assets. I don't want to trade Tarik Skubal.
No.
I want to win with Tarik Skubal. So, but yeah, they've drawn me in, Doug, and I find them very interesting to watch. It's fun to watch these guys finally come around a bit here.
It's been so long since they've had a homegrown young core. It probably really goes back to Trammell and Whitaker and Lance Parrish and Gibby and that group. In between, there was that weird stat that they hadn't had a homegrown all-star for like 30 years, position player. They had some homegrown pitchers, but we're just talking about position players, everyday players, and that guy was Travis Fryman. And now, and not all of these players are homegrown. Obviously, Sweeney is not homegrown. But when people are saying good things about your minor league system, and then you turn around and when you call those minor leaguers up, some of them are playing pretty well. I mean, it's not like they got a bunch of guys hitting 300, but I mean, since his return, Parker Meadows is, Spencer Torkelson is. Cole Keith just seems to be getting better and better. And then you start looking at, all right, in this whole mix, where is Jace Young here to stay? Is Dylan Dingler going to be here to stay? He's not hitting as much. Parker Meadows, man. Gator said it last week. He thinks he's here to stay. He thinks he's an everyday player. I heard Milliken say it this morning. I'm not there yet. But, man, this is encouraging.
I got to be honest with you, though. How good he is defensively, he didn't need to do a ton offensively to stay here. And he's done above and beyond that. I think when they sent him down, what was he batting? Like 160? Something ridiculous. Like it was god-awful, right? And they had to send him down. But since he came back up and after the injury, when he first got called up.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
I can see why, you know, Gator and people like that are high on him because he doesn't have to continually bat this well. He's just got to show that he's somewhat can do something with the stick because on defensively, like I said, he can control center field in Comerica Park.
And what's funny is one of the least popular stances taken by a GM is why we're seeing this. People were like upset that they didn't sign free agents. And our GM would say, hey, or our president of baseball operations would say, hey, I don't want to block young players. I don't want to block young players. Now all these young players are here because in part because they're not blocked. And given, hey, they're probably not going to the playoffs. But it's led to this fun few weeks of Tiger baseball. 248-539-9797 asking you, Detroit, what's your state of mind as it pertains to this team that won again last night? We'll get to your phone calls and feedback coming up. Of course, it's open line, so anything on your mind, fair game. Sign Stealer is out, and Hendon Hooker is the number 2 quarterback in Detroit. Nate Sudfeld is getting cut today. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.